Exodus 20:8-11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord God made heaven and earth, the sea, all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy.
Thank you, brother. Let's pray. Father, I would ask through the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son that you would rain down your word and wash us, and that your holy word through your Holy Spirit amongst your holy people on this holy day would change us from one glory which we woke up to this morning as your children to a whole nother glory, that we would appreciate you, that we would find our joy in you, that we'd find our satisfaction in you, and that you would be glorified in it. And your name would be seen as high and lifted up. Father, we ask that you would help us focus this morning. We have so much going on, that you would keep us from temptation, that you would keep the evil one away from us, that you would help my weak, feeble mind. You would help the weak, feeble minds of my friends here, my brothers and sisters here, that you might work in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we mentioned earlier, it's Mother's Day, and it's May, and as Superintendent Stafford said the other day, it's like 10 lanes verging into one. You know, it's just month comes around every year, but being Mother's Day, you know what that means, kids, what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the next verse in the Bible. That's what we're going to talk about for Mother's Day, which is the Sabbath. And the reason is we are 100% convinced by God's grace that what will build us up is His holy word, that our hope is not in how we can encourage, but how His Word can encourage. And if we learn anything as a people, it would be the power of God to use His Word to make sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, friends and neighbors. So we're going to rely on His Word this morning. We're in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And we saw at the beginning of this series of why we worship, why the children of Israel were supposed to worship, because the Lord their God had brought them out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Long before He tells them what to do, He tells them how to do it. And then the next four commands go something like this. Well, who do you worship? Only God. Have no other gods before me. Well, how do you worship? With no carved images, with nothing made by man. We need nothing to worship the invisible God, the God Himself. The third one, what's the manner in which we do this worship? It's with reverence and fear, that we do not even say the name of the Lord our God, the name of Jesus, in a way that would seem common or normal, much less something horrible like cursing. And then number four, when to worship. That's this text that Kyle read to us this morning, is to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That is the command right there. And all the rest will explain the command. The command is to take an action, is to remember and to keep. Remember to keep. That's the command. And all the rest is the manner in which you, or the way in which you, take this action of remembering and keeping, along with the reasons behind it. So let's dive in. I want to look at first the actual text, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. I want to talk about how it applied to Israel on the Mount in God's old covenant. I want to then look at how it applies to New Testament saints. We'll take a look at the text in the New Testament about the Sabbath. And then I want to end with thinking about what does this have to do with us in 2021 as a church in Vienna, Illinois. So let's look at the command. Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So when we're going to start with this, we need to think about what in the world does Sabbath mean? Some of you know, but I want everyone to know that the word Sabbath means rest. That's it. It means rest or a period of rest, an intermission for rest, a cessation or ceasing from work or labor for rest. That's all Sabbath means. Remember the rest day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And holy is the other thing we need to know what it means. It means to set apart, that it's other, it's different, it's consecrated, it's sanctified. Holy, the holiness of God, as you hear me often say, is like the otherness of God. God is holy, all creation is the same. He is different, He is set apart. And so the only thing you find that is holy in the Bible is His holy people, because they're His and they're set apart for Him. His holy temple, because it's His and set apart for Him. Holy, everything that is set apart for God is the only thing that is holy. So, when you look at this command, it's to remember the rest day to keep it set apart and different. Set apart and sanctified, consecrated. To make this day, the Sabbath day of rest, different than the other six. We see in verse 9 the main idea conveyed. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. So there's your work in 6 days and there's all of it. So whatever your work is, God says you have 6 days to get it done. Now this isn't a command that you have to fill those 6 days with work. But whatever work you have to do, you have 6 days to do it. All your work in 6 days. And then the alternative is verse 10. But the seventh day is a Sabbath, a rest to the Lord your God. 6 days work all your work. 1 day is a rest day to God. So you're resting to God. You're working your work 6 days. You're resting to God 1 day. This is the command. It is a rest to the Lord your God. And then he explains more fully this main idea. What does he mean by do all of your work in 6 days and on the seventh day rest? Well, he goes on in verse 10, on it, on this day of rest that's to be holy, you shall not do any work, none. You, that would be husband and wife, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. No one is to be working. Mom, dad, children, slaves or servants, your animals, or even the visitors that come in amongst you. No, do not do any work. That's pretty clear. What he's looking for is the whole culture, the whole society, to not labor for this day. It covers everything. I mean, he covers animals. He covers everything we have that, well, I can get a day off of rest, but I'm going to have my ox thresh all day, and I won't have to do anything. But no, God says everything shall not do any work in verse 10, any labor. And then he gives the reason for this as he's explaining this idea. For, here's the reason, because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. You see, God worked in creation for 6 days. And in heaven, in earth, in the sea, that's everything. And all that is in them. You see, he says, you do all your work in 6 days, for God did all his work in 6 days. Everything in heaven, that's Saturn, that's the farthest star you can imagine, that's here on earth, and the mountains, him creating it, that's everything in the ocean, every shark and every fish and every octopus. 6 days, he made it. God did all his work in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh. He ceased from his labor on the seventh day. He ceased from his work. He stopped and rested on the seventh day, and then he goes on in verse 11, therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day. He put a special blessing on this seventh day. He finished all work. He rested on the seventh, and he made a special blessing for it. That's not all he did. He also made it holy, consecrated it, sanctified it, set it apart, made it different. You see, the Sabbath command to rest did not come on Mount Sinai. It came in creation. Just like commands to marry, just like commands to multiply and fill the earth. It came as God's created order. 6 days he worked, seventh day he rested, special blessing, and set it apart and made it different and holy. We see this in Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done. So God, in 6 days, did everything he needed to do. He rested, and then he blessed it, and he said, this one's different. The same thing he tells us. This one's different. This one's blessed. This one's holy. 6 days, he tells the children of Israel, do all your work, and then rest on to keep it holy. Notice in verse 8, he does not say to make it holy by your rest. He says, you keep it holy. You remember it and you keep it set apart and different. That's the fourth commandment. Just very simple. Out of 6 days, you rest one as a blessed day, as a holy day. Jesus shines light on this in the New Testament, where he tells us in Mark 2:27 that the Sabbath was made for man or mankind, not man for the Sabbath. That God didn't have a day where he needed blessing and holiness, and so we give to him on that day. No, this day is blessed for humanity. It was made for mankind, for man, not man for the Sabbath. So we see in verse 8 the command, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So just a few logical questions, maybe not logical to everybody, but why 6 days work and one seven, right? Why not eight and one day rest? Why not four and one day rest? Why not five? We have a 40-hour work week now. Why not 5 days? Have we figured something out, right? Well, we work 5 days and then we rest one. And I would just encourage you to not spend time on questions without answers, or I would say foolish questions. The same thing could be said, why do we have one nose instead of two? I mean, just think of how handy more smelling would be. Why don't we have eyes in the back of our heads? Why don't I have a third arm? There's no end to these questions, is there? God, in his perfect wisdom, balanced things perfectly. That the sun is the perfect distance from the earth. The earth rotates and circumferences the sun perfectly Everything matches perfectly. So evidently, it's perfect that we work six and we rest one. Right? So what would this have meant to the Israelites? They're on this mountain. What would they be hearing when they hear this command? Remember the rest day and keep it holy. Well, obviously, the first thing is to obey it. It's a command to be obeyed. All the commands were going, who you worship, how you worship, the manner in which you do that, and now when to worship. It's God expecting obedience. We have to remember, these are immature people that have been brought out of what? Slavery. You think they were getting rest days in Egypt? You think they had a 40-hour work week in Egypt? No, we remember Pharaoh, in his anger, says, quit giving them the supplies and I want more product. They didn't get rest days. This is something God has blessed and given to them to obey. So this would have been a whole new idea to them that you take a day and you don't work as a slave or you don't work for yourself. Even when he gives manna, he says, I'll give you enough manna on the sixth day to last 2 days. Don't go out on the rest day and gather manna. Some of them did, and it rotted. God expected them to obey it, but to grow and to learn that their God, the Lord, was different than what they could even think or imagine. And to grow in how to actually trust this God that parted the Red Seas, that gave them water out of a rock, right? Food from the sky. Miracles had happened, and here is a miracle of all miracles, rest one day a week. They needed to know what he was like and to display him to the world around them, to the nations. That the Lord, their God, was different than the gods of Egypt and the gods of the pagan world. That he was holy. He had a holy people. He had a holy day. So here's some scriptures in the Old Testament that will help us understand as they grew of how they should have pictured their day of rest, what they should be doing on this day. The first one we find in Exodus 23:12, where he says, 6 days, do all your work. Seventh day, rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant and woman, the alien, may be refreshed. So one of the reasons for the Sabbath day is for everybody to get some rest. For the body to get some rest, for the animals to get some rest, for the servants to get some rest. Boy, somebody on the building committee said, man, we need a rain shower when we're raising money. Because you can't hear in here, but hopefully, Lord willing, this will get quieter. And praise God, the money came before we had the rainstorm. But we'll persevere by God's grace. This rain is a blessing. So the first thing we see in Exodus 23 is that it's for rest. It's so that the body can get some rest. The second thing we see is in Exodus 31, where the Lord is speaking to Moses, and he tells the children of Israel in verse 13, speak to the children of Israel, above all, keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord God, sanctify you. That you keep this sanctified day as a sign that you might know that I set you apart, that I'm making you holy. Here's a holy day, and on this holy day, you need to be thinking, I'm being made holy. He set this day apart, and he set me apart. We see all on down in verse 16, where he says, therefore the people of Israel shall keep my Sabbaths, observing the Sabbath as a covenant forever. It's a sign forever between me and the people of Israel. So this is a sign of the covenant of God's holy people. Holy people gather on the holy day. It's a sign and a covenant. So first, it's just for rest. Second, it's a sign of the covenant. Next, we go on to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath, a rest day of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It's a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. A convocation is a sacred assembly, a worship gathering. That the Sabbath in Israel was a holy convocation. It was a holy assembly that the people came together to worship the Lord. So it was rest for the body. It was a sign of remembrance that there are holy people. And it's for gathering to worship the Lord. Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days labor. Seventh day is a Sabbath, a rest of the Lord your God. Don't do any work on it, in verse 14. It goes through the whole list again of ox or donkeys and livestock, the sojourner, all of these. No work. Verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. Here we see God giving another reason to keep the Sabbath. For you to remember, Israel, that you used to be a slave, and that you are to quit working for a day and do nothing. Not let your ox or your donkey work, or your servant work, or your visitors work. No work. And one of the things you do while you're not working is thinking, I used to be a slave, and I'm free and not working. God has been kind to me and brought me out of slavery. So we see rest for the body. We see a sign of the covenant to remember them, that they are a holy people. We see worshiping in a holy convocation, and we see remembrance of our past life in slavery. You see, not only was it for the Israelites to honor the Sabbath, but Isaiah, in Isaiah 56, 6 through 7, tells us that one of the purposes of them being different and holy is so that the Gentiles would see it and come to the Lord. And we see Isaiah, God speaking through Isaiah about foreigners who would join themselves and keep the Sabbath and not profane it. That He would bring these nations to His holy mountain and make them joyful in His house. That one of the reasons for the Sabbath is so that pagan, God-hating nations would see that God is different. The Lord God Almighty is different. And they would come to Him and find joy in the Lord through Israel resting one day a week. So we see what Jesus said in the Gospels would have applied to them as well. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. All those reasons are benefits to the Israelites. God is not in heaven deficient of something one day a week where He requires that humanity come together and fill His tank and worship Him. He doesn't have a meter that He needs a certain amount of worship and we have to keep it up. All these things are benefits for Israel, for them to be blessed, for them to be holy by a blessed and a holy God, through a blessed and a holy day. They would have known that it was good to do good on the Sabbath, to love your neighbor and help them out. So when they had departed from the Lord, when they were in sin and about to be carried into Babylon, and Isaiah was prophesying, He told them in chapter 58, verses 13 and 14, this is a picture of what God had in His mind when He gave them a day of rest. And He tells them, He said, if you would turn your back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable. Verse 14, He goes on to say, and take delight in the Lord. He said, if you would turn back and find joy in the Sabbath, find God honorable, that He would give you a day of rest and take your delight in Him. All the way back in the Old Testament, God's design for the Sabbath in giving rest for the body, remembrance of their past slavery, a sign of the covenant for them to know that they're a holy people, to be an example to the Gentiles, was also wrapped around in them being happy and delighted in the Lord. That the day of rest from all their labors was to make them happy. That they might find their delight in the God who consecrated the day and be a joy to one another and a joy to the nations through finding their joy in the Lord. That would have been the Old Testament view of the Sabbath. But what about the New Testament view? We do things differently, obviously. Here we are on Sunday, the first day of the week. That's different. And not everybody obeys it the exact same way. So let's look at what the New Testament believers did that would be different, that have led to where we're at. Here's some text that will help guide us. Jesus, in Luke 4:16, went to his home church in Nazareth, the synagogue, and as was his custom, he went up to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. It was the custom of Jesus of Nazareth to one day a week on the Sabbath to go to his local assembly and someone open the scroll, read it, and start describing it, start preaching and proclaiming the Lord. That was the custom of our Savior. But it was Jesus who said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's at the very end of Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says, come to me, I'll give you rest. He calls it a rest for your soul. At the very end of Matthew 11, guess what is the first two accounts talked about in Matthew chapter 12? Arguing about the Sabbath. In Matthew chapter 12, the very first thing that happens is that Jesus went through the grain fields, and on the Sabbath day, his disciples were taking grain off of the plants and eating them. And it infuriated the Pharisees and the Jews who said, they're working. And so right behind Jesus saying, I'll give you rest for your soul, is this account of what happens on the Sabbath and the Jewish people misunderstanding it. And it's in this context that he says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Right after that, there's a man with a withered hand. And they bring him to Jesus. They use a crippled man. They use a man with all his problems and bring him to Jesus on the Sabbath and say, you're going to heal him on the Lord's day where you're not supposed to work? Are you going to work, Jesus? And Jesus says, is it wrong to help somebody? You have an animal fall in the ditch. You'll drag him out on the Sabbath. And you don't want me to heal this man on the Sabbath? And he teaches them that it is good to do good on the Sabbath. And it's in this context where he says to them, the temple is over there, but I'm telling you, something better than the temple is here. And that's Jesus, right? Well, he is also saying, when he says, come to me, those of you seeking a Sabbath, seeking rest, come to me if you're weary, if you're working, if you're heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you a Sabbath to your soul. And then he says, I'm the Lord of the day of the rest. And something better than the Sabbath was in front of them, namely Jesus. Jesus Christ is better than one day a week. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. We see Paul in Colossians in verses 2, 16 through 17, telling the church at Colossae Therefore, don't let anyone pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink, what you should eat, what rules to eat, thinking of the Old Testament laws, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, a rest day. For these are shadows of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Paul says, he's talking to a Gentile church, and he says, you don't let these Judaizers tell you how to do what on what day. Those things like the Sabbath and the festivals and the foods were just shadows of the thing. But the substance belongs to a person, Jesus Christ, our Messiah. And that Jesus is our rest. And he tells this church at Colossae, you don't let people judge you on how you do what on what day. Those were shadows. And Jesus is the actual thing, the actual person. Romans 14, very similar. Paul talking to a Gentile church. And he says, one person esteems one day better than the other. One says, hey, the Sabbath is more important than the other days. This last day of the week is more important than the others. And while another esteems all day alike, another might say, Christ has redeemed us, and we got 7 glorious, holy, sanctified days. Jesus is our Sabbath, and they're all glorious. And he just says each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, who doesn't observe the day, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. He's saying to this Gentile church in Rome that you might view what to do on what day differently. Just honor the Lord with all your days, is what he says. Honor the Lord with all your days. So we've learned already that this law is no longer written on stone, but it's written on our heart. I would ask you this, does that include all the law written on our heart? Is it just thou shalt not murder written on our heart? Or is it remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Is that written on our heart as well? Some we see Jesus having fulfilled this law, like the atonement. And some we see him finishing it by bringing us complete rest, but we're not under the law, but we are in Christ, who was accustomed to go to God's people on the Sabbath, open the scroll, and read. So we see Jesus fulfilling the Sabbath rest by dying for our sins on the cross. That's our burden. That's our work. He died for to redeem us from the curse of that. He is our rest. He says, come unto me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest for your souls. So why do we gather on the first day of the week and not the last? Well, it's interesting. There's not a whole new commandment. You can't find a verse in the Bible that says, hey, now start meeting on the first day of the week. But also, you can't deny, very early on they started to do this. They were gathering on the first day of the week very early on. And by revelation, John is referring to it as the Lord's Day in chapter 1, verse 10. He says, I was at Patmos on the Lord's Day and I saw a vision. That the early church gathered very quickly, changed the custom, and began gathering on the first day of the week. You see, the Sabbath was remembering of what God had finished in creation. And the Lord's Day, if you will, is us remembering in Christ finishing the new creation of our salvation with His resurrection. He has accomplished it. But why meet at all and rest one day still? We're not Jewish people, we're Gentiles. We're not under the law, we're under Christ. I would argue that though Christ is our Sabbath, and we're not under that, and that He has completely finished everything that needs to be done for us, that we have not yet received it, right? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 says, there remains a Sabbath rest. There's coming a day when we will be what we call glorified, finished. We won't be sinning anymore. We won't have any problem. Satan and everything evil will be cast into the lake of fire. All those who refuse to receive Christ by faith will be cast in the lake of fire. Those that are in Christ will be fully united with Him and experience that in a glorified state. But we're not there yet, are we? Maybe we do need a reminder every week that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Meaning God's still working. We're still working. And so we then need rest. The New Testament believers met once a week on the first day of the week to worship Christ together. They also rested on that day from their labors in faith for the purpose of refreshing their mind, their body, and their spirit, as well as reminding them that they were not saved by works, but by grace. One of the benefits of the Lord's Day, one of the benefits of the Sabbath, is reminding ourselves as we don't work, that we don't work for our salvation. One of the things we can do by setting in our home, by gathering here and not getting all the things done that we got to get done, is to remind ourselves in Christ Jesus, there's nothing I got to get done. I don't have a to-do list in my salvation. Christ says, it is finished. And I can set in my home with my family, come to church with my family, with a long list of things that have to get done, and tell myself, no, it is finished in Christ Jesus. I am saved. I don't have to work to save myself. Christ has accomplished my salvation. And us setting our tools down, closing our chore book, reminds us we used to be lost. Now we're saved. We used to be slaves to sin. Now we're free in Christ Jesus. And it's still a day to remember that. It's still a day of holy convocation to come together and worship. It's still a sign that we are a holy people set apart for God's work. In fact, it was so common that the Christians in the early church met on the first day of the week that by AD 321, so this is only 300 years of a church that started with 120 people in Jerusalem, that 321 years later, in AD 31, I should say, Constantine, who converted to Christianity, said, the first day of the week is a day of rest for the whole Roman Empire. We're going to bring Christ's kingdom to earth. I disagree with him, uniting the state and the church at that time. But his view was, we're bringing Christ's kingdom to the earth, and so now everybody is to rest on the first day of the week that they called Sunday. And we still do it that way. So what should we do as Christians in 2021? Well, if you're looking for me to give you a list of things that's okay and not okay to do on Sunday, I'm not going to give you a detailed list. But I am going to give you a list of what you should be doing that I think I can show you from the Scriptures. One, as one commentator said, we shouldn't underread how the New Testament Gentiles observed it, and we shouldn't overread it either. These people in this Roman Empire that were getting saved in Cornelius' household and in Rome when Paul made it all the way to Rome, they're slaves and servants. These aren't the leaders of society, right? They didn't get to take a day off. They didn't go to their master and say, you know what, I converted to Christianity. I'm going to start taking a day off every week. That wasn't an option. They were slaves. They were servants, right? So we can't read too much into it and think that they just changed. But we can't underread it either. And read past where in Paul's letter he talks about them getting together once a week, where it was the custom of Christ to get together with his people around the Scripture once a week, that the apostles taught in the synagogues, that they focus and that John says, on the Lord's day I saw a vision. We need to see that it was a common practice even in the New Testament. So we should also remember that the Lord give us a day to rest. A rest for your body, your soul, and your mind. It should be a delightful rest. One day in seven, you need to shut down. One day in seven, you need to rest. Is it a commandment on stone that if you go out and pick up sticks like the guy in the Old Testament, we're going to stone you? No. Is it a principle God gave us in creation? Yeah. Yeah, to put your to-do list. Do all your work in 6 days. On this day, take a delightful rest. If God finished all His work in 6 days, we should, right? We should receive this day of rest as a gift by faith. We shouldn't wake up thinking, oh my goodness, I've got all these things to get done. We should wake up and say, thank you, God, for a day that I don't have to worry about my list of things to get done. And folks, I don't mean to sound harsh, but there's not a slave in this room. There's not a servant in this room. Everyone in this room, except children, make your own to-do list. And if your to-do list is so much that you can't get it done in 6 days, well, I would encourage you to pray for the purpose for the person who makes your to-do list. That they're not reasonable. That they're a cruel taskmaster, is what I would say. That God is not requiring that. We should receive this rest for our body, our soul, and our mind as a gift from God by faith. We should also remember the Lord's Day as a holy convocation for worship, a day to focus on Christ. If at all possible, that should be on Sunday when the saints are gathered on the Lord's Day with the gathered church. I realize not everybody can. We live in the Gentile world. We're not ruled by the Ten Commandments. We don't even have Constantine saying, this day nobody works. We have all kinds of things that have to get done on Sundays, or so we have dictated in our society. People need to do them. But if at all possible, make this day, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week with the gathered church, rest for your body, soul, and mind in Christ Jesus, and a day to worship. A day to worship the Lord. I would encourage you, dear saints, do not get the mentality that we will go to church if nothing else is going on. Get the mentality that every week when the people of God gather, wherever you are, you're going to gather with them because God has gifted you that. If you're on a mission trip in Haiti this summer, guess what they're going to do on the Lord's Day? Get together and worship. Do it with them. If you're on vacation in Hawaii, guess what you're going to find there? People worshiping. Go worship Jesus with them. It's a gift from God. Don't treat it. Don't despise your birthright. It's what Esau did. He despised his birthright. As a Christian, God has given you a day to rest in Him. Don't look on that and despise it. It's a way to honor His holy name that we shut down. We gather to worship Him. We lift high His name. And that's a witness to the surrounding people. The fact that you will let your to-do list go and come and gather and worship Jesus Christ really will tell your neighbor what you value. If you will shut your business down and lose money to show up and worship Jesus, your neighbor will correctly put two and two together in his head and say, Jesus must be worth more to them than their money. Jesus must be worth more to them than their chores. It's a way to hallow it, to exalt Him, to lift Him up, a day set apart for Him and for His glory. I think we should remember that. And as a reminder to ourselves that we are saved by grace and not works, showing that we trust God with our souls by resting in Him with our body, mind, and spirits is a sign of walking in grace, as I mentioned earlier. I would also, as we say that as we remember the Lord and the Lord's day as a day of rest, that we don't judge those who in this world are not able to do the exact same or who choose to honor the Lord in a different way. Paul is very clear with that. I'll finish with this. If you resting on the Lord's day is a burden rather than a delight on a regular basis. I say regular basis because I know some Sundays are rough. I know there's some Sundays you wake up and it's exhausting and it is a burden, right? But if a regular basis, if it's hard for you, if it's a burden for you to rest your body, soul, and spirit on the Lord's day rather than delight in it, I think you should ask yourself why. I think you should ask yourself why this day is burdensome to not get your things done rather than a delight. And I would ask, is the spirit of the one who is accustomed to gathering with the people of God, reading and hearing the Word of God in you? That's what Jesus enjoyed doing, is delighting in gathering with the people of God, delighted in resting in the day that His Father had given Him. So it's a day to be filled with the Spirit, to love God and love Him only, and to love your neighbor. You might have to get some work done today. If you go home and you see your neighbor struggling with something, some problem that's work, that's hard work, you know how you can love them? Go do it with them. This isn't about rules of what tools to touch and what not to. It's a heart issue of what to do and not do, what to love, what to delight in. Dear children, dear brothers and sisters, I would encourage you just to meditate on what God wants you to do when you think about this command. What God would have you do when you think about the Lord's day and Christ being your Sabbath. I would just beg you to do that. We're not all going to look the same. We're not all going to have the exact same conscience in that. But what we can do is all honor Christ in what we do with our time. So we've seen now in the Ten Commandments who to worship, how to worship, the manner in which we do that, and now when to worship. We worship by resting. That hasn't changed. We rest in Christ, and that is worship. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise Your holy name. Only Your wisdom that surpasses all wisdom would come up with a day to do nothing but enjoy You, to delight in You, to not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow have enough worries of its own. And here You have given us a day to come together, to shake one another's hands, to hug one another, to cry together, to pray together, to worship together to this great God who saved us from sin and death and has transferred us into the kingdom of light. Oh, Father, I would pray that we at Fellowship Baptist Church would know what is our inheritance in Christ Jesus through His Sabbath rest. And I would ask, Father, that it would be a joy to everyone in this room to rest their souls in Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen.